Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's time for the hard-hitting analysis you won't find anywhere else. Here's former Super Bowl-winning scout Brian Broaddus and Bobby Belt.
10-5 victory! Cowboys win!
This is Love of the Star.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Bell, joined as always by Brian Broaddus, former Super Bowl-winning NFL scout and co-host of the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fan in Dallas, Monday through Friday, 2 to 7 p.m. Central. We're out here in Oxnard, California. By the time you guys hear this, it will be our final – well, not ours. It'll be Brian's final day in Oxnard. I'll be here through Wednesday. But, Brian, last padded practice of your trip here. You got to see three of them. I want to open up and just have us kick around this discussion about what we think about what we've seen from these padded practices. Maybe guys who have shown up a little bit more with the pads coming on, maybe some guys who have faded a little bit, and just overall takeaways from this last week. So anything standing out to you after this week of three padded practices?
I think the thing that has stood out to me the most is this defensive line has a chance to do something, I think, pretty good. And I think there's, from a rushing aspect, Bobby, from a playing run defense aspect, I've been super impressed with what's gone on at defensive tackle. I've been impressed with what's gone on at defensive end. I really like the combination of the two groups. And I think they're, I've said this before, I think they're the best coach or the well-coached, mm-hmm. most well-coached of the groups, of the positions. I felt like that watching this line that they really took it to these offensive linemen. And I'm not just talking about backup guys. I mean, when you're talking, they took it to Zach Martin. They took it to Tyron Smith, you know? And so I'm not saying that every single battle was won by the tackles or by the ends, but enough to where I was like going, okay, this group has got a chance to be good.
It's one of those things where a good indication of how the coaches are feeling about what's going on, just hear who they're calling out, like, you know, after play is done. Yeah. And consistently you're hearing, there it is, Osa.
Yeah.
Or that's what I'm talking about, Osa. And you just hear, and it's not just from the position coaches. You hear it from Dan Quinn.
Right.
Talk to him. And you hear other players like, oh, that's it, D-Law. That's what we needed. All right, Dorrance, that's it. That's good, D.A. Like, they are all over the place, this defensive line. And I think that when we've seen some of these padded practices, the Tuesday practice, we talked about that earlier this week, was dominated in the trenches by the defensive line.
Right.
Today, when we watched the Thursday practice, the third padded practice, not nearly as much. It wasn't as a dominant performance, but I think still you've got the defensive line winning the trenches just about every day so far in these practices. And that's caused Dak to, honestly, I think it's given me some confidence in seeing Dak moving around and evading this rush, which they're not going to sack him. They're not going to take him down. But it makes me feel better about, okay, Dak's getting out there on the move. He's throwing the ball on the move. He's breaking the pocket. He's running in these practices. I felt in the process of not feeling great about how the offensive line has looked at times, I feel really good about seeing Dak moving out there and the skills.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, with this defensive line, though, okay, this is the first time today that we'd seen one-on-one receivers versus defensive backs.
Yep.
And really, defensive backs struggled badly today.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they struggled badly because the pass rush wasn't there. because then when you went to the team aspect of things, it wasn't as easy for Dak. It wasn't as easy for Cooper Rush. It wasn't as easy for Will Greer. It wasn't as easy on the outside.
Yeah.
So the one-on-one stuff was, and you're going to see videos from camp, depending on who you follow, and you're going to see Simi Fehoko run right by Diggs. And then you look at the mentions behind it, and everybody's like, oh, my God, Diggs. What happened to Diggs? What's wrong with Diggs? It's one time. But Diggs wasn't alone today in the one-on-one stuff. He really wasn't. But I wonder if this secondary is playing better because of what we've seen up front, where Dak has had to move. Cooper Rush has had to move. Those throws haven't been as clean in the pocket and haven't been as accurate. Dak, deep throws today, Dak didn't miss one in the one-on-one stuff. Dak in the team periods, though, has missed it. And I think that's big a little bit because of guys on that defensive line have taken him off his platform a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, you and I have talked on here before also that I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast or you just brought it up, off air when we were chatting about stuff, is that maybe the reason we haven't seen these one-on-ones, though, is because that's naturally advantageous to a receiver.
No question.
Because you're asking the corner to press with no help behind him, and the receiver's got, 60 yards deep in the entire width of the field to do whatever they want. And so it naturally lends to the receiver having an advantage right at the snap.
And then you have NFL officials there that are going to call holding right off the jump. If in fact you get out of position – and then you grab or you try and, work your way back into position.
For all of the challenges that the defensive backs had today, I don't know if you saw this. I don't think we got a chance to talk about it leading up to today, but I'm curious if you saw it. Did you see how bad TJ Vasher wrecked Kelvin Joseph?
Yeah.
On like three? I mean, Joseph got flagged for holding on two of these reps. So he was close enough and doing enough, being handsy enough, that he got flagged for it, and still Vasher got clearly open by the end of the pass. I mean, completely shook him off at the sideline on one of them. And Vasher's not like a super agile, quick kind of a player. He's a big body guy who makes his name with the contested catches, and he was just dropping Kelvin Joseph. I thought as anonymous as Kelvin Joseph had been, and as much as Kelvin Joseph had been in position but struggled to finish plays when the pads weren't on, I think since the pads have come on, I think Kelvin Joseph has just been bad a lot of times.
Yeah. Had a chance. And I think you were standing there in the walk off. Dan Quinn spoke with the media, and then we had the opportunity to walk off with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Dan about Kelvin Joseph. I said, what's the struggle here? What's the issues and stuff? And I kind of feel like that Kelvin Joseph right now has no confidence playing. I really don't. When Kelvin Joseph is bad, he grabs. And when he's really bad, he grabs even more. And I think he just has not had any where Brown's made plays, Lewis has made plays, Diggs has made plays. We haven't seen Kelvin Joseph, and Nashawn Wright's made more plays. And Dan Quinn likes to point out that Nashawn Wright and your guy is doing really, really well. I mean,
Isaac Taylor Stewart. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Kelvin Joseph is doing, again, I'm sorry. Just a lot of stuff going in my head.
We have 90 names. Yeah. But half these guys aren't going to be here.
But we're talking about Kelvin Joseph. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like Nashawn Wright has been a better player than Kelvin Joseph. Now,
100%.
Maybe when the lights come on in Denver next Saturday as we do this game. We got practice against the Broncos next week. But maybe when those lights come on, that Kelvin Joseph will be a better player. Right now, he hasn't been a better player. And, I think Dan Quinn has shown – I mean, he's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with the guy right now. Dan Quinn's been super, super positive about the player. But also Dan Quinn was the one that stuck his neck out for the player as well.
Yeah, and I think that those guys you just talked about, Anthony Brown, the guy with a literal chip tattooed on his shoulder, Trayvon Diggs, who is for the next, 7-8 years is going to be the leader of that secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Lewis, who is Mr. plays with an edge, is tough. Pound for pound, Jordan Lewis may be the toughest player on this football team to me.
Yeah.
And Jordan Lewis, by the way, we'll reference this, is like almost getting in a fight with CeeDee Lamb today out of practice.
He did call CeeDee Lamb out. Yeah,
he did. It makes me wonder that, is that the difference here that we're seeing in this competition, is that we're talking about a couple of headstrong individuals versus a guy who seems to have trouble, Kelvin Joseph, in, you know, some of the stuff between the ears.
Basically. I think he's had a really rough off season, and that, I think that's
a lot of it his own doing.
It's his own doing, and for what he all went through, you know, whether you believe him, like him, whatever, you know, the Cowboys believed enough of him to draft him in the second round, and they knew the potential pitfalls with the player.
Yeah. You know,
and I'm not saying the player, he is a talented individual. You could see that. The problem is he is not playing like a talented individual right now. He's playing like a guy that has zero confidence. He's got zero technique. He doesn't trust anything he's doing, because even when he seems to be in position, they catch the ball on him, whether it's over the top, whether it's on the out, you know, he seems to drive on the ball and, you know, he can't knock it down. It's not a very confident football player right now, and they've got to get him going. They really do. They, you know, the fact that Nishan Wright is stepped up the way he has, if you know, right now, if you told me, hey, you got the three starters and Wright would be my fourth guy,
it wouldn't be
Kelvin Joseph as my fourth guy. It just would not be.
No, I think that's dead on. If we're just talking about from the perspective of who has been the better player, and it's a meritocracy, as the old Jason Garrett line, then it should absolutely be Nishan Wright as number four. In fact, I know some people, you know, it's been a little more subtle, I think, than a guy like Wright. You're hearing buzz out of there that they really like what they've seen from Deron Bland.
I haven't seen
Bland get burned.
I haven't seen Bland. Maybe I'm watching the wrong thing, because I haven't seen Bland. It's one of those where, like, these other ones I've noticed.
Yeah.
And maybe that's bad on my part. You know, and that's why I'm looking forward to these games, the practices, stuff like that. That maybe that he gets to show up, because he'll be playing a lot in these preseason games in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. Some other guys who stood out, I think, when the pads came on, a guy who missed today due to COVID, we talked about it a little bit. When the pads come on, I think Rico Dowdle's speed just looks different. He looks like a different football player. CeeDee Lamb has really stepped up since the pads came on. Oso Odighizuwa, another one. And the guy that – we'll talk about competitions here in a second. I don't understand how left guard is still a competition we're talking about, because since the pads have come on,
one of the great mysteries of this camp.
Yeah, as powerful as I think we thought Tyler Smith was, and as much as it flashed in some of these practices, it's just overpowering in these practices now that the pads are on. He is moving anybody and everybody. 360-pound Quentin Bohanna is getting blown off the ball. That is a powerful football player. And to me, that's just the easy starter at left guard. But that's a guy that I think has just gotten better since the pads come on, is Tyler Smith.
Yeah, that was always going to be – his game was always going to be about power, leverage, ability to drive. I think with Tyler Smith, but like we've talked about, it's one of the great mysteries that, you know, that Connor McGovern continues to get those first snaps with the with that first group. And so we'll see. It might – when we get to, again, with these first preseason game, it might be Tyler Smith's getting the start, and here we go. You know, with no Dak Prescott playing in the first – and he probably not going to play in any of these preseason games. All his work is going to be in these practices. You know, maybe it's not so much important to have, Connor McGovern or Smith in front of him, just because from a protection aspect, you know, it's going to be Cooper Rush and others.
You mentioned Fajoco briefly there the other day, or earlier on the show.
Showed a burst today.
Man, I think that in these last couple practices with the pads on, he's looked better.
Well, what's happened is his speed, when you watch his speed, when it's just T-shirts and shorts, probably not impressive. But then when everybody else who can run puts on pads and they slow down, he seems to have that extra gear.
Yeah.
And I think that really surprised Diggs on the top of that route where he, you know, and you could probably find it
gear.
You could, if you're a Cowboy fan, you probably follow a lot of these folks on Twitter, you know, the David Hillmans, the John Machotas, the Michael Gelkins, those guys that post all these videos. You could see Simi Fajoco with a different gear to get away from to get away from Diggs to go get that football.
Yeah, and I think that the Cowboys have felt like, okay, this guy definitely has all the traits. We just want to see it become consistent.
Right.
And I think that that's been a big thing for Simi Fehoko in his favor was we saw him at minicamp. He had a great practice there at the end of minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, let's see if he carries it into the training camp. And then he did. He carried it in with the shorts and everything right. else. Now that they're in pads, I feel like that's showing it more. His size, his strength, his ability to bully a guy like Kelvin Joseph or even a guy like Trayvon Diggs at times or Jordan Lewis. He is able to make an impact, whether he's gotten free and gotten some separation or just even those contested catches, strong hands, big body. I think all of that's been really positive. You're listening to The Love of the Star. The Love of the Star, of course, is an Odyssey podcast. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Brian. So I know we promised this in the last episode and a sort of expansion from some of our takeaways from the first week and a half of practice. I want to talk about where we think some of these starting competitions are heading, because we did an episode about that where we're just discussing, you know, where the starting position battles were on the football field. I think we knew, obviously, we've already referenced this one a little bit, so we'll dive into this one first. Left guard was the spot where we really had to find out who was going to win this job. And if you're just talking about who has looked better on the football field, shouldn't this competition be over at this point? This should be Tyler Smith's job.
It should be, but they're going to find a way to keep Connor McGovern engaged. They used him again at the fullback role. We saw Farniak get some work at the fullback role as well today.
Yes. They're down. Ryan, their fullback is down.
Yep. So they're having some problems there with they're trying to run their offensive packages. So, yeah, it's clear to me, it's clear to guys and gals that are watching practice that Tyler Smith is a better player right now than Conor McGovern. Why did I say Conor McGregor? I knew that was
UFC.
I know I was going to
champ.
Yeah, but Conor McGovern. So I don't quite understand that. But there's been other things on this team that will go through that I don't understand as well either. And so as a guy who worked in a front office, you know, that part of it's a little gray to me right now.
I realize I'm asking you essentially to speculate, but when you look at just having been around football teams and you've seen the way certain coaching staffs like to delegate and make these sorts of decisions, would you say the fact that Connor McGovern is getting these first team reps, maybe it's a collaborative decision, but would you say the driving force behind a decision like that would typically be the head coach, the offensive coordinator, or the offensive line coach?
I think this is probably what's surprising. And I'm going to try and answer your question as quickly as I can. You talk to people within the personnel department, and they would tell you that going in, Connor McGovern was not a big – Joe Fibbon was not a fan of Connor McGovern.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't a fan of him at all. And the scouts had some fight. There was some fight, some friction between all that. And then he got to play, and then he's removed. And then all of a sudden, as a scout, you're going to like, well, we tried.
Yeah.
We tried there. We missed on that one. you know, he had a second round grade, high second round grade when they drafted him. So there's a lot of guys that liked him. But Joe Philbin didn't select this guy. This is not Joe Philbin's guy.
Yeah.
So with that being said, and I know people I hate when I do that, but I'm gonna say that it's one of the great mysteries. I keep using that term, but because I wonder what happened in the offseason that made Joe Philbin switch to, okay, Connor McGovern, we need to play him. We need to play him more. I mean,
Does that potentially speak to maybe then it is Kellen who's driving that?
Kellen
was here.
All right, this is what I think.
Yeah.
I think Dan Quinn, when Dan Quinn wants a player or wants somebody to play, Dan Quinn just does it. Dan Quinn went out and got Anthony Barr. Yep. He went out and got Anthony Barr. And they didn't need him. He went out and got Anthony Barr. George Edward went out and got. Kellen Moore to me is not the type of guy that's going to beat the table for a player.
Yeah.
He's just not. He's not going to offend the scouting department and call them names and all that. So this to me is very much a Joe Philbin move. And I don't know what all of a sudden, maybe Joe Philbin's like, man, the scouts might be right.
Philbin, with the help of Jeff Blasco. Yeah. Jeff Blasco, their assistant offensive line coach, is one of the most involved second assistant coaches at a position in the NFL. He is right up front. Yeah. He is one of the loudest coaches on the football field. You hear him throughout the practice. He spent a lot of time with Tyler Smith. So one of my theories here is that Tyler Smith, I think I've told you this before. I think it was before we were on the podcast. Tyler Smith was not necessarily thought to be – he's not going to be a super advanced rookie right away. He's going to take some time to build up and get to what he is. But I think he was a litmus test for the coaching staff. Like, hey, somebody's getting it out of this kid because he's got the talent. You show me if you can do it or we'll have the next team do it. So I kind of wonder if the – Philbin, who a lot of people
that's a big gamble for somebody that's a first-round pick, though. But second-round area.
Well, Len, I think the Cowboys think it's somebody's getting out of it. We know coaching staff should be able to get it out of them. So if you don't –
Well, the defensive coaches do.
Right.
Kelvin Joseph, right.
I wonder if that's just some timidity from Joe Philbin and the offensive line coach staff. Like, hey, look, we were lucky to be here this year. If this kid is going to be a big grade of ours, we need to just bring this along until we're confident – and we're not just going to throw him out there. And so I kind of wonder if that's what's at play there.
Yeah.
We talked about we talked about wide receiver three being a competition. And we're talking about James Washington and Jalen Tolbert, that they were going to start the year as starters. And then when Gallup came back, we'd see which one of them were picked as wide receiver three. James Washington obviously hurt now. The Jones fracture out 6 to 10 weeks, probably on the further side of that at 10 weeks. Talking to some people now that they've lost him, it sure sounds like that wasn't even going to be as much of a competition. What? It sounded like they were pretty set on Tolbert was going to be the guy. But now you definitely have, until Gallup gets back, it's even more wide open as to who's that third receiver. So far we've seen a lot of Dennis Houston, the rookie out of Western Illinois. We've seen TJ Vasher have a great camp, Simi Fehoko, Noah Brown. I guess it's those four, if they don't go out and get somebody, that are in competition for wide receiver three. So who do you think has looked the best? Who would you give an edge to as if they don't go make an addition, who is starting alongside Tolbert and Lamb or taking the majority of those snaps in that game?
Noah Brown.
Yeah.
Noah Brown's been the one. I mean, Noah Brown might be the way he's practiced. You know, if you say Anthony Brown has, I think Anthony Brown has been the best player in camp.
Yeah.
Does that sound crazy? But Noah Brown, from what he's done, every day he makes a play. Every single day he makes one or two plays that you're going, wow, that's pretty impressive right there by the guy. I'll say this. The thing with Tolbert, I think that he's had a couple of good days.
Was better today than the other.
Better today than the other. Yeah, and the other padded practice, I didn't think he was good.
No.
But at the wide receiver spot, you know, when you look at Vasher, last night I'm visiting with people, and they're telling me, like, you guys are making way too big of a deal of this James Washington loss.
Yeah.
You're making way too big of a deal of it. And I was like, well, wait a minute. You guys brought James Washington in for what reason? Was he the bridge to get to, you know, was it the bridge to get to Gallup, you know? And I'm just kind of getting that vibe that, like, well, we'll wait and see. maybe Gallup is going to be further along here than what's happened. They're not worried as much because they probably feel like that Gallup is not going to go on PUP. That maybe that Gallup misses the first game and we'll see what happens in the second.
Yeah, because he's – I mean, I think Gallup himself basically ruled himself out for game
one. He did, but that's what I'm saying. I kind of feel like that because people are coming up to me and goes, you guys are making way too big of a deal about James Washington.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, wait a minute now. You guys brought him in. Like I said, you brought him in. And I just – because I couldn't get them to tell me like, okay, well, does that mean that Michael Gallup is only going to miss the Tampa Bay game? If that's the case, then yeah, I probably made too big of a deal about going out and trying to get another wide receiver. But if you know, the difference between this and what happened when they went receiver by committee, they have a legitimate one receiver
in
CD Lamb.
Yes, they do.
And back then when they did that, when they traded for Amari Cooper, they didn't have a legitimate one receiver.
I think when Gallup returns, and if Tolbert is what I think he can be as a rookie, I think there's an argument to be made that Tolbert, Gallup, and Lamb are better than any receiver they had at the start of that season. Gallup was on that, but he was a rookie, and it was Hearns and Deontay Thompson. It was an awful receiver group.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting. My question for you, I guess, and again, I'm asking you to speculate.
I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. Noah Brown. You said Noah Brown.
I think Noah Brown is
game one. Noah Brown will be the third receiver.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Just because unless Noah Brown pees down his leg in these preseason games and stuff like that. I mean, he's had great practices. Noah Brown is one of these guys that always shows up in practice, and then when you get in the games, it's all of a sudden, oh well, here comes Cedric Wilson. And the scouts told me, they're like, Broadus, watch this Cedric Wilson. Cedric Wilson. And then on my show on the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, I was saying, hey, Cedric Wilson. And everybody on the show was like, get out of here. No Cedric Wilson. Get out of here.
Yeah.
So maybe Noah Brown will be this guy. We'll see.
Yeah, and I guess the follow-up question there, and again, it's speculative, I know, but what would you think the reasoning would be behind? Because Noah Brown has clearly been the better one.
Yeah.
He's been with Dak for 6 years now. Yeah. And he's the veteran. He's you know, been the best of the receivers practicing. I think you're right. I think he's likely to be the third one. What do you think the thinking is then behind like Dennis Houston getting all these first team reps? Is that just we know it's going to be Noah Brown, so let's see what we have in this kid?
Yeah.
What is that?
I think they're looking at Houston as a possibility. I remember a player, and you might remember the player too, Lance Lenoir.
Yep.
And they gave Lance Lenoir every single shot. And they even let him return punts in a game against the Rams. It was Dak's first preseason game in 2016.
Lance Lenoir, oddly enough, also went to Western Illinois, like Dennis Houston.
So, they gave Lance Lenoir every opportunity. And then he peed down his leg, and then he was on practice squads and stuff like that. They're giving this – they're putting a lot on Houston's plate. I'm not seeing what I'm seeing with – the others.
No.
You know, I'm seeing Vasher make plays. I'm seeing Noah Brown make plays. Fajoco.
Brandon Smith has made more plays.
Brandon Smith making plays. But they tell us that you earn these reps with Dak. You earn them. And I think this might be a guy that they had a really good college report about, probably was on their board as a draftable player. And they're trying to give him every bit of opportunity to either make the team or cut himself.
You remember we talked about Tolbert and Turpin were catching punts the other day.
Yeah.
Today it was Houston and Turpin. So Houston first team and he's getting the punts back.
They're trying to find a spot for him. I think that's what.
Boy, and again, Tolbert, since the pads
maybe he'll show up these games.
Tolbert, I thought he was a little anonymous since the pads have come on. But just as a quick sidebar, since I mentioned the punt thing, I thought it was really interesting today. The special teams coaches were reaming Jalen Tolbert.
Yeah.
Tolbert was running down the field. It was a drill where he was supposed to be blocking for Kevontae Turpin. And the special teams coach was just screaming at him for losing the point of attack and said, you're going to get Turp killed like that.
Well, see, that's another thing, too. You talk about special teams coach, and this is Bones Fossil. Once we had the field goal period where the two kickers went at it and there were some misses, there were some makes and all. So they go down the other end of the field and they start kicking more field goals. Bones Fossil doesn't go to be referee man and hang out and watch practice. Bones Fossil was at the other end of the field because I guarantee you, I said this on my radio show again today. I said, there's going to be a meeting where Bones Fossil is going to have to answer to Jerry and Steven and Will about what's going on with these kickers.
Yeah.
And it used to be like, okay, kickers, go handle your business. Bones Fossil after the period went down with the kickers. I watched Garibay miss a field goal with his left. He turned around. Bones is walking up to him, talking to him about something. But you get the special teams coach that's now down there paying attention because, trust me, I've been in those personnel meetings with Jerry Jones. He is going to ask whoever's responsible for the position what they need to do.
Yeah, and not just Bones. You know, we talked about this earlier today on 105 The Fan. Mike McCarthy is standing over every single one of these kicking sessions, just focusing on that. And that's not how he typically watches
practice. I know that took us off the path.
No,
you started talking about coaches getting involved in practice and doing
it. It did not take us off the path because that's the next competition we can talk about here. Brian, we got Liram Hirelahu and Jonathan Garibay. Garibay rough again today, 4-for-8. He has been about a 50% kicker since he's been here. Hirelahu more accurate, struggled on Tuesday, I believe it was.
Yeah.
More accurate, but just doesn't – I don't know that his range is even up to 50, it feels like.
Yeah.
Right now I'd say it leans Hirelahu, but do you think the kicker's on the roster right now?
I don't think so. I said Hirelahu earlier, you know, when we had one of our first show, who was going to be the kicker. And I honestly, if they go with one or the other of these two, I think there's going to be a lot of nervousness going into that first game against Tampa. Maybe I'll be wrong about that. I personally don't think the kicker's on this roster. And again, I asked the question of when we did our mailbag segment about and I can't remember the gentleman's name who asked the question, but I thought it was an excellent question about would you rather have Jake Ferguson now or have
Cade York? Yeah.
And everybody's kind of like, ooh, that had, ooh. Excellent questions. Keep the questions coming their way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to John Machado from The Athletic earlier today, and I was like, man, if you could just give me Garibay's power with Hirelahu's accuracy, you'd have a good cook. You'd have a good kicker. Yeah. Because the thing is that Hirelahu's pushing everything to the left. It's a booming leg. It could make things from 60 yards, I feel like, when it's accurate. It's just it's not always completely accurate.
Not at all.
You're listening to The Love of the Star. The Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, and now we're going to turn the show over to our loyal listeners. As Brian just told you, you guys have asked great questions, that Cade York one being one example of it. So we're going to head over to the Twitter account and take a look at some of these questions we've gotten. We just talked about Noah Brown. At I Got Soul asks the questions.
I Got Soul.
Says, hearing Noah Brown has been one of the best receivers in camp so far. In your opinion, does his performance so far say more about how good he is, or does it say more about how bad the rest of the receivers are other than Lamb and Tolbert? Does he look legit?
He looks legit. Yeah. He does. And this is a six-year guy, and I think that he saw what happened to Cedric Wilson last year.
Yeah.
I really do.
Got paid.
Him and Cedric Wilson were kind of like interchangeable.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, then it became interchangeable. And then all of a sudden, it was like Cedric Wilson, Noah Brown, you know, and it was, and Noah Brown didn't see the light. And one went and got paid, the other just kind of playing on a veteran minimum contract, you know. And I think that maybe that Noah Brown's to that point where he's like, listen, I've got to you know, remake my body, work on my hands, work on my routes. I mean, he ran some beautiful routes with
cuts. Gosh, his footwork is so much better.
Footwork was so much better. So to me, that it's legit. It ain't that everyone else is a bag of you know what. It's legitimately that Noah Brown is playing well.
Yeah, and he's a guy that in the past I'd say he's one of those reliable every year. Oh, he's the training camp star. Yeah. We're hearing about it, but it is different this year. The way he's winning, the things that he's doing, it looks different. Like I said, that footwork,
yeah,
the foot quickness. That's been my issue with Noah Brown for several years. Like, to me, it looks like he's running in molasses at times. He's not a fast guy. He's not very agile. He's just one of these kind of like, you know, savvy guys who finds the right spot. You know, he'll block. He'll make a catch every now and then. But I thought this year he looks legitimately improved. And we need to pull him aside, honestly, and get a chance to ask him, like, hey, what did you do this offseason? Yeah. Who are you working with? What were some of the things you focused on? I think that that's been one of the fascinating developments so far at camp. Coach Hudson, one of our loyal listeners.
I like Coach Hudson.
He asks, is Tyler Biadasz far and away better than the next guy? The next guy, of course, Matt Farniok. He says, haven't heard much about him during camp. Is no news, good news. Okay. He's been okay. Biadasz has been okay. Farniok has not.
I think they've struggled inside. I think they've struggled some inside.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just because the defensive tackles have been damn good.
Yep.
But I think like as a group, they've struggled inside. So I'm not willing to say that Farniak is so much better than Biadasz or anybody else that's getting reps inside. They've been bad at a couple of spots. I mean, hey, I'm going to be honest. Tyler Smith's had some problems. You know, Connor McGovern's had some problems. Zach Martin had a problem or two. You know, they've had some problems at center. You know, it hasn't been really, really, really super, super clean inside, because I feel like that the rotation of defensive tackles have been that much better.
Yeah, Farniok, I told this to you earlier today, Farniok's been a disappointment to me. I was really hoping he'd come in here and look better as a challenger. We saw him today getting some of those fullback snaps. He was, you know, when Connor McGovern wasn't in there doing fullback or Zeke wasn't in there doing fullback, they were trying it with Farniok, but that's a guy who looked really impressive in the final game against Philly, obviously against backups, but second, third team snaps here at guard and center. Farniok has not looked great to this point. So I think that's been a disappointment. I think they would have loved to have find somebody to take Tyler Biadasz's job from. Yeah. I just don't think they have anybody. They
feel not right good now. Enough. They don't currently have somebody now.
Next question from at Logical Cowboys. Judging by camp, are they moving CD around frequently? It's interesting. Yeah. We're not going to see everything in their bag. They did a lot of that install during OTAs and stuff, and they did it on the days where we weren't going to be able to see.
Right.
So we're not going to see a ton of stuff. I did say, and just to dovetail quickly, we did talk about those whip routes, those little pivot routes. We actually saw them running those as drills today, like running around cones. So that's definitively in the offense this year. I'm really excited to see how that gets used, potentially, especially for a guy like CeeDee Lamb. I feel like that's something that would really take advantage of CeeDee's skill set, but they are moving him around a little bit. Not he's mainly
motion,
been outside.
Slot,
but
moving. They are trying to get him going, at least put up some matchups if they can.
Not a lot of stuff at the snap. He's kind of just motioned and then moved to a specific spot. But I mean, he's been outside. He's taken some reps inside, and I think that's a big thing to them about how they've cultivated their receiving core. Tolbert, Lamb, Gallup. I think all three of those guys, they believe we can play them at any of the three receiver spots. They're interchangeable. We can, you know, have him run around. It's not like a slot-specific guy. It's not like a guy who, like, well, that's an X receiver. We don't really put him inside or anything like that. So I think that that's been an encouraging aspect of camp, has been how ready CeeDee Lamb has looked for that number one receiver job. So I think that that's something that you can definitely say is happening.
There's been some frustration from CeeDee Lamb, too, early in camp. Him and Dak did work really on the right page.
When Anthony Brown was disrupting all those passes in the red zone to CeeDee Lamb at that one practice.
He was about to lose it
last Friday. They had a little sidebar and talked over to the side. And you know what? I think we talked earlier about the chippy practices and some of the frustration. I actually think the Cowboys are fine with that. I think they're happy to see, all right, let's see some, you know, let's see y'all pissed off at practice. Let's see y'all getting into it and chirping at each other a little bit. Yeah. But yes, CeeDee Lamb, from what they will allow us to see, I think we're seeing the evidence that he's going to be moving around a little bit. Next question from Dean Julia says, bigger impact this year, Sam Williams or Dorrance? And additional question, best champ at a big leap this year, Osa, Chauncey, Gallimore, Dorrance, or Kelvin?
Okay, Osa.
So the defensive guys they picked last year, plus Gallimore and Dorrance. So okay. Osa, Chauncey, Gallimore, Dorrance, Kelvin. Chauncey Golston had a few really good reps today, by the way.
Yeah, he sure did. And they were playing him at defensive end.
I think what we've seen from training camp is that obviously it's just training camp, but if training camp's any indication, Osa Odighizuwa is gonna have an incredible
I think so
year.
Too. If he could stay if the health and he gets through that wall of getting beat up. I mean, he is always going 100 miles an hour. I would say he's been the most impressive of the defensive linemen that I've been able to watch. Now, I'm not counting Parsons as a rusher, as a defensive lineman, but I will say when you talk about the defensive tackles, the three technique, him and Gallimore today, I thought were really, really good inside.
Yes, this was the first practice to me where Gallimore stood out.
Yeah.
In fact, when I was looking over that list just now and reading it, Osa, Chauncey, Gallimore, Dorrance, Kelvin. I was like, okay, Kelvin's clearly had the worst.
He's had the struggle. He struggled the most.
But outside of the others, when I just removed Kelvin from Dorrance, Osa, Chauncey, Gallimore, I actually think Osa, Chauncey, and Dorrance have been better than Gallimore for the most part during this camp.
Yeah.
And Chauncey, especially, is a guy who's kind of playing a new position, bulked up, moved inside.
Dan Quinn said the plan all along was not to play him at end like he did at Iowa, was to play him as an inside technique.
That they needed a year in the weight room.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Gallimore's another one who I think he said he put on 17 pounds of muscle this offseason. Yeah. He looks bigger.
He does.
And I think he's going to be
doing –
He's going
to play that one.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Would you say right now your best guess, three technique opening day is Osa, one tech is Neville?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. So, and then the other thought there, bigger impact this year, Sam Williams or Dorrance for you?
I love Dorrance Armstrong. Yeah. I really do. We interviewed
Sam – Tyron Smith a couple times the other day.
We interviewed Sam Williams today. I'd say this about Sam Williams. I think there's a lot less pressure on him. If they didn't have Dorrance and Fowler and some of these other rushers and maybe even Barr, I think it's taken a lot of pressure off Sam Williams for have to be that guy.
Yeah. I think they can just use him as like, hey, pin your ears back.
Let's go.
Like,
yeah.
You know what they're doing with him a lot? And I've been kind of surprised by it. I didn't expect them to do this. They are putting him in at three
inside,
tech.
He's playing
three tech.
Yeah, he has.
And he's a guy who I don't think people realize just how – they think of him as kind of Micah-like.
Oh,
he is built like a tank. He's a big guy.
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay.
Armstrong, though, is my guy. I do feel like that Armstrong is going to have a big season.
That's going to be your pet cat
from pet cat.
Now until the end of time.
Yeah.
Next question here from Brandon Linderman. He says, what undrafted free agents have looked good? Who are the players to watch in pads as we continue to go along? So the undrafted free agents that have looked good. I think today with the running back, with some of the touches going away since Rico Dowdle wasn't there, Malik Davis, the running back out of Florida, I thought had a good day.
Yeah.
And that's coming off a practice where he was really frustrated. You remember Nashawn Wright hit him late.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got really frustrated, I think, with Tyler Coyle in that practice.
Yeah.
And he came out today and ran tough and showed some burst. And that's not really – that wasn't his game, really, at Florida. It wasn't burst. He wasn't, you know, going to be a speed guy. But I think he looked pretty good in this practice. I will always go back to Isaac Taylor Stewart as a guy that I like.
In my second life, I want to come back as Marquise Bell.
That's the name. Marquise Bell has definitely
Marquise
flashed.
Bell. I didn't realize I stood next to Marquise Bell. That is a full-grown man. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you could strike matches on him. Seriously. I mean, seriously, he is that rocked up. And, you know, the other day we were talking about how the safeties are filling in the alley and killing some of the running game. I see why, because we were talking like, Bell made a play. And it wasn't until I stood next to him that I realized it. I'm like, holy jeez.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. And I'll tell you what, you want a guy, I don't think he's a long shot to make the team.
No, I kind of think
because I have a feeling he is going to shine in these games, these preseason games. And when he shines, he's going to make the team. But you put a guy like that out there, there's probably some of the off-the-field stuff that got him.
Yes.
Right? Transferring to Florida A&M. Was he from Maryland initially?
Maryland initially, I
believe. So, and, you know, going to Florida A&M. But, man, physically he is as good-looking as a kid as you'll ever be around. And I think the ability is along with how he looks.
And you know, it's funny because we kept hearing buzz out of the building about, hey, Marquise
Bell. They were talking about him.
And we remember we watched him in OTAs and minicamp. It's like, sure, like he's okay, but like nothing like really stands out. I'll say since we've been to camp and since the pads have come on, I think he's flashing now. Like now it's like, okay, there it is. And that's, you know, that's why they're in their jobs, these coaches and scouts, is because they can see that before the pads. But I think since those pads have come on, you're seeing Marquise Bell not just doing stuff in run support and filling those lanes like you talk about. He's done some good stuff in coverage at times when he's been on tight ends or backs or some of those other things. That's the role they envision for him. They want him to be J-Ron Curse, young J-Ron Curse, and into the future. We mentioned Isaac Taylor Stewart already. It bears bringing up as a name. Again, I don't know how much he stood out, but they clearly seem to love Dennis Houston. And I don't know that. I don't know if that's Robert Prince. I don't know if that's Kellen Moore. I think the Lance Lenoir comparison is so dead on.
Yeah.
Because Dennis Houston is a guy that they clearly seem to think really, really highly of. I had liked Aaron Hansford. They had to release him in order to assign Anthony Barr.
Yeah. A matter of fact, I've had a couple of my Gang of Seven guys, a couple of those teams ask me about him, what happened with him. So, that you know, here they are, they're helping me with stuff. Now I'm trying to help them with stuff.
So yeah. I think that when you look at guys who have stood out for me as the undrafted free agents, Isaac Taylor Stewart, the corner.
Yeah.
He looked good in OTA. He's been good. Think about him. Some of the chatter here, maybe they just want to see it show up.
Man, he can't be missing practice, though. Yeah. Man, that's a struggle right now. These young guys can't miss practice.
They got a lot of them missing practice, too, with like Ferguson now missing practice, things like that. But yeah, Malik Davis, I think somebody who's shown up now with Rico Dowdle out. Then you mentioned it, Marquise Bell. He's obviously
Bell by far is my guy.
Bell's that guy. I think that when you talk about somebody who was, you know, really didn't get a chance to see the field last year, kind of lost his year. Vasher, obviously, the guy who hasn't played.
He kind of a rookie guy,
because he lost his whole year,
right?
But Vasher is a guy that I think really stands out. And again, I feel like that's going to be a Robert Prince special. I think he really, really is impressed with TJ Vasher, but. Thanks again for your questions. Thanks again for hanging with us, of course, out here in Oxnard. I'll still be here as we continue on. Brian is going back to Dallas.
I wish I was staying. I'm not going to lie.
You wish you were staying so you could have that air temperature as low as
66, I mean, Bobby tries to freeze me out every night. He does a good job, but it's okay. Yeah, I will be back in Dallas. Bobby will be here in Oxnard. And we're going to have this thing covered up, buttoned up. Trust me, when they get back to Dallas, Bobby and I will be there every day as well together watching this. So, I'm looking forward to reading about your coverage, hearing about your coverage, and seeing all the information we get out of it.
Your final takeaway from a week and a half of practices as Oxnard, what's the biggest takeaway you have?
The defensive side of the ball is really well coached, and the defensive players respond very well to those coaches. And Dallas has got, I feel like, a richest of some of these defensive linemen. I really do. I like what I see at defensive tackle. I like what I see on the edge defensive end. Some of these preseason games are going to be fun watching these guys rush the passer. I think they're going to get after people this year with these guys.
Just a numbers game. I think they very well may end up having to cut four or five guys who end up on NFL rosters.
I tell you what, we always say that, you know, but I don't disagree with you on this. And maybe you take one of those guys and a surplus guy and you move him for a wide receiver or something else. Maybe a kicker.
That's not a bad play at all. All right, we'll talk to you guys again next week.